This year, we launched an ongoing conversation series on parks and people here in Chattanooga and Hamilton County. The Parkside Podcast is a collaboration with and led by Civic Partners. Brian Smith is with the City of Chattanooga's Parks and Outdoors. Karen Shostak is with Hamilton County's Department of Parks and Recreation. On this episode of Scenic Roots, here's our latest conversation.
Welcome to Parkside Podcast, where we explore the people, places, and partnerships that make Hamilton County such a special place to live, work, and play.
From parks and public spaces to the projects shaping our future, this is where those stories come together. I'm Karen Shostak with Hamilton County Parks and Recreation.
And I'm Brian Smith with Chattanooga Parks and Outdoors. And of course, as always, we are proud to partner with WUTC and Scenic Roots with support from Ray Bassett, who helps bring these conversations to life.
Thanks for joining us here. With each episode, we just build and build the conversations.
Absolutely, getting better and better. And right away, we already have one wonderful guest joining us today.
Today, we're joined by someone who has played a major role in shaping Tennessee's future for nearly two decades. State Senator Bo Watson serves Hamilton County in Tennessee's Senate and currently chairs Senate Finance Ways and Means Committee, one of the most influential positions in state government. Senator, thank you so much for joining us. Parkside.
Well, thank you for having me. This is my first time to, I think, be on a podcast here at UT Chattanooga, although I'm an alumnus from the class of 1983. So
wonderful.
I look forward to the conversation about parks and all other things outdoors.
Absolutely. So what an honor to have you here. And we're just going to jump right into it since you mentioned parks and outdoors here. So Tennessee continues to see tremendous growth. From your perspective, what role do parks and outdoor recreation play in attracting people and businesses to our state?
Well, of course, you know, for people who are unfamiliar with Tennessee, we have three stars on our flag. They represent the three grand divisions, the East, the Middle, and the West. Each of them have their own unique features from an outdoor perspective. You know, in where we live, you've got the mountains of Appalachia and the Smoky Mountains of Western North Carolina, the hills and the hollers that make up the area where we live. And then if you get into Middle Tennessee, you're up on the plateau, which has a completely different people, completely different feel to it. And then if you get out in West Tennessee, you've got the Delta and the larger farmland. Each of those areas has their own characteristic outdoor activity that attracts people here. Mm-hmm. For us in East Tennessee, it's the incredible hiking, rock climbing, rafting, canoeing. One of our greatest blessings is that Tennessee has two major rivers that cut through it, the Tennessee River and the Cumberland River. All the tributaries that feed those two huge rivers create outdoor opportunities in the hills and also in the Delta. And then, of course, when you get out into West Tennessee, you got the whole Mississippi River experience there. So really, for those who live here or those who visit Tennessee, we can offer an outdoor experience in a multitude of ways, which is what our state parks try to represent, different kind of characteristics of the state.
When communities talk about economic development, typically what's on the forefront are roads and utilities and industry. Why should parks and green spaces be considered part of that infrastructure as you're talking about economic development?
Yeah, of course, roads and bridges are really, really sure. important, as is all the other infrastructure. But Tennessee, you know, people don't realize or have forgotten that Tennessee was the first frontier. When explorers or adventurers first came across the Appalachian Mountains into Tennessee, which actually in 1765 was prohibited by English law. The Scot-Irish did it anyway, but they came across, they discovered the frontier. Of course, it was occupied by Indians and animals and all those things. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of part of our heritage in
sure.
Tennessee. It's part of our culture. You know, if you look at the state seal, we have agriculture and commerce. Agriculture is somewhat synonymous with green space, outdoor space. So it is, sure. it's a part of our Tennessee DNA. And we continue to invest in it. And people who are less familiar with our kind of environment and don't realize the blessings that we have in this state outdoors-wise, when they come here and visit, they either want to stay, which some people would say is getting to be a problem because too many people want to stay, or they frequently come back. And so we've made financial investments in our state parks and other outdoor assets that bring people here to spend their tax dollars. In Tennessee, we don't have an income tax.
Mm-hmm.
So we rely very heavily on sales tax. And who better to take sales tax from than people who come to our state, invest a little bit, and then go back to wherever they came from.
You've represented Hamilton County for many years. How have you seen public expectations around parks, trails, and outdoor spaces evolve during that
yeah,
time?
That's a great question.
Isn't
and of course, I'm blessed to represent the county that I grew up in, right? I mean, I was born and raised here. Like I said, I went to UT Chattanooga, educated here. I suppose I'll be buried here. You know, for a long time, Tennessee, or Chattanooga, like many towns, was viewed as somewhat of a manufacturing city.
Right.
Even though we had all this scenery around us, it was kind of a manufacturing city with combustion and DuPont and Siskin Steel. But as we started to change our personality in the 70s and then in the 80s, we started realizing what an incredible economic asset we have in our community here. So I have watched the riverfront become, of course, that was in the late 90s, early 2000s. The riverfront became the outdoor front door to Chattanooga and Hamilton County. It always has been. Even our earliest history, it was where everybody congregated. But it created a different sense of an economic strength that we have here that we had not here before really realized. And now we've really tapped into it. And again, if you're local, you don't often realize the treasure that you're living in. And I think that transition has now been realized by even the folks who are living here regularly. And you've heard a conversation locally about National Park City. Yeah. And just an indication of investing in our outdoor space is really important. But what really brought it home to me, and this would be deemed by some to be kind of controversial, but it really, by me, wasn't viewed that way. If you remember, a few months ago, we entertained a discussion about doing some things out at Enterprise South, about maybe reallocating some land from being outdoor land into industrial. And the pushback that we got from that was really significant. And while some people considered that to be criticism, it actually only further solidified my thinking about how much the community believes in and wants to invest in our outdoor spaces. And rather than it being a negative, it was actually a really positive experience for us to hear so many people of their own urging. Nobody had to tell them to do it. They just did it naturally, organically, came out and said, no, we recognize the importance of commercial development, but not here. This is a space that we need to preserve. And I took that as a really positive moment for community engagement and allowed us to kind of reset, rethink, and of course led to doing something over on the other side of the river at the McDonald Farm property.
So you talked about some of the things that communities, the people are getting right when they're investing in their parks, but what opportunities do you see that still exist here in Tennessee?
We're one of the top five destination states in the nation right now. Again, some people view that as a positive and other people not so much. And it's because we have so many things happening. Again, I referenced earlier about the three stars on our flag representing the three grand divisions. We have different things that are happening, whether it's outdoors or it's commercial or it's technology. We have things happening in each of our three different grand divisions. Obviously, East Tennessee is really blessed with the outdoors that we have here. We're different that way than Middle and West. But we also have one of the nation's research laboratories at Oak Ridge in East Tennessee. And that draws in a really highly educated PhD level type individuals who, incidentally, by the way, also are a group of individuals who really enjoy outdoor life and outdoor entertainment. So we've got that kind of technology. Of course, Tennessee has invested heavily in nuclear energy, most of that, again, coming out of Oak Ridge National Laboratory. So that's a whole sector that's now beginning to develop. The energy sector is the next big sector of development. You know, here locally, we've got the project around quantum that's starting to develop, which is technology. Then you get into Middle Tennessee. In Middle Tennessee, now two-thirds of all the data in the world is healthcare data, in some shape, form, or fashion. You go into Middle Tennessee, and you've got a huge healthcare cluster there. Oracle came to Tennessee not just because Tennessee is a great place to live and great place to do business, quite frankly, because of our tax structure, but they came because Middle Tennessee is a cluster of healthcare data. And as they're developing AI for health and medical purposes, they needed to be in a place where they had ready access to a lot of data and information. And of course, then you tie on that, you've got the music industry that's in Middle Tennessee. And Nashville, of course, is just on fire. I mean, everything that Nashville does right now, we got a Super Bowl coming in 2030.
That's amazing.
We're probably going to have at some point a World Cup soccer coming into that area. So, I mean, with the new stadium being developed, so Nashville's really on fire in a lot of different dimensions. And then you get out into West Tennessee. And, of course, West Tennessee still has a large agriculture and farming component to it. But you've also got between Jackson and Memphis, you've got Ford developing and building their most modern plant where they were originally going to initially build their battery F-150. They've since kind of backed away from that since electric trucks and electric cars aren't selling as well. And there'll probably be a hybrid or something like that. But it will be their most modern factory that they have. So they're not going to walk away from it. They're still heavily invested out there. That will raise the manufacturing side of West Tennessee that they haven't haven't had a lot of. Most of West Tennessee is, again, they've got a lot of entertainment out there, but they also are a logistics hub because FedEx has been out there.
Sure.
I say all that to say the three stars represent the three grand divisions. It also represents that there is a lot of commercial diversity that our state has, and that is why people are coming here, because people have different wants and needs, and some people want to come to East Tennessee for what we're offering, sure, both outdoors as well as commercially, and other people middle and West Tennessee. And I think those are the things that are making Tennessee very attractive. And finally, we have a low cost of living as compared to other parts of the United States. Those of us that are local might complain about taxes and things because that's what we do. Mm-hmm. But if you are from another state, you come here and you go, oh my gosh, this is incredible.
True. I'm a transplant. I can totally relate to that for sure. And so as chairman of the Finance Ways and Means Committee, you see it's a huge deal what you do here for us. You see every major investment proposal that comes through. What do you believe outdoor recreation? Why do you think it's become such an economic driver? And I think you kind of answered that a little bit, but I just want to hear more about, because whether you live here or you're visiting here, this is what you want to know about these towns, and you're just given such great history, and we appreciate it so much.
Yeah, well, so, you know, a lot of people who, and again, we've had a lot of people move here, particularly in Middle Tennessee. I mean, obviously, East Tennessee, we've had growth, but nothing like they are experiencing. So when we're complaining about traffic here and such and roads, multiply it by about five, and you can live in the Nashville area and see what they're dealing with. I mean, for goodness sake, we're building a tunnel underneath the city of Nashville to connect to the airport so we can transport people from the airport.
When there's a tunnel involved, I think you are, I think you got some challenges.
You got challenges, Look, there were a lot of negatives that came out of COVID, right? But a real positive that came out of COVID was people were forced outdoors to open spaces. Yeah. And particularly the generation that's kind of growing up in the COVID / post-COVID era, there was an appreciation gained during that time frame of, hey, you know, we can't stay locked up in the house. We got to find things to do outdoors. And people started looking for things to do. And it made it easy for Tennessee because we already had a lot of things to do.
Sure.
And then COVID also created the remote workforce. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you had a lot of people who said, hey, we want to get out, we want to enjoy the outdoors, but we don't have to live in California to do that anymore. We can be in Tennessee and still work in California or pick your site. So I think in many ways that experience of isolation and seclusion has driven people to congregate together and get out. So I think things like festivals that we were afraid were just going to wither on the vine because of people's concerns have actually started to flourish again. Mm-hmm. And we're trying to offer those kind of things, you know, whether it's local programming or regional programming, trying to offer those things to people to get out and enjoy the out of doors.
I'm excited to hear you say that. That is the biggest part of my background and my career, the fear of those things. COVID, 800,000 people lost their job just like that when COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And those were people the first to close industry-wise and the last one to open. And so it's exciting to hear that that's part of your vision when it comes to bringing people back together and maintaining that programming perspective, because I feel like that is part of the experience in the outdoors too.
There are a lot of reasons that companies or people choose to move to a new area. Mm-hmm. But particularly when it comes to companies, they want to get the best deal from the state that they can get. Obviously, they want incentives and all those kind of things. But at the end of the day, if you're a company that, let's say, is going to employ 1,000 people, you got to move to a place where your employees are going to enjoy living and working and worshiping and playing there. And so Tennessee offers, and particularly East Tennessee, offers some of those kind of intangibles. It may not be on the checklist of tax incentives, infrastructure, energy. It may not be on that checklist. But when they get down to the final two or three states or locations that they're going to move to, then they have to get into the question of where are our employees going to enjoy living.
I love that.
Because if it's a place where you're like, it's a high tax place and our employees are just going to look for somewhere else to go, and we're going to end up spending lots of money constantly trying to hire or rehire people.
Wow, it's just amazing to hear you say that way, because that's part of a company's retention. That's just really, it's powerful to hear you frame it that way.
Well, if you talk to a company executive in HR, they will tell you that it's incredibly expensive to hire new people.
Right.
And it's better to try and invest in the people that you've got. It's less expensive.
Sure.
And part of that investment is the community that they live in. Now, it goes way beyond just outdoor activities. Obviously, you've got to provide them with an education system that they have confidence in. Mm-hmm. Of course, in Tennessee, we believe that parents, families ought to have opportunity to choose about the best education for their child. That's a conversation for perhaps another show. But it's really important to people, to many people, that they can kind of make some choices in Hamilton County about, do I want to do private school? Do I want to do public school? Or parochial school, do I want to do a home school, charter school? I mean, I can go through a list of all the options that people have. And that's another one of the important things, because if you're a company coming into an area or you're a new family coming into an area, you want to make sure you have all these amenities like outdoor activities and things to do, but you also want to be able to be sure that you're able to offer opportunities to your children as they start to grow up in that community.
When you look at all the state parks, you look at the local parks, and one of the beautiful things is that these parks are open, and for many cases they are free. And you mentioned businesses come here because some of this park, some of the communities are built because some of the great parks here. But when you're looking at all of the ROI, the return on investment that's coming in from all projects across the state of Tennessee in various ways, how do you evaluate where parks lives here? Because some people might think, well, we don't really make any money off of parks because it's free. How do we do this? But what is your take?
Well, we do make money off of parks. You just don't see it.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of quiet money. People coming in and, you know, if they come. For example, you know, we're going to be opening a new state park up in Sail Creek, the north part of Hamilton County.
Yeah.
The largest single investment that that part of our county has probably seen.
We're going to ask you some questions on that coming up.
Yeah, we got that coming up here in a second.
So there are going to be people who are going to come there for that experience of that park. When those people come there, they're going to say, you know what? We need to get some groceries, or we'd like to have a restaurant to eat at, or we've got to have a place to stay if they're not going to camp there. You get these secondary or ancillary benefits that come from state parks or local parks.
Sure.
And then it starts to attract a certain type of person that wants to live around that kind of environment, and then they have their friends. And so it's its own little economic ecosystem that starts to grow. Now, is it advanced manufacturing? No, they're just on different levels. They do different things. They actually work very much in relation with each other. You can have, like I said, people who do advanced manufacturing are often very much into outdoors fishing and camping.
Well, there's science
and
behind it too.
Yeah.
With it, so I can see how that relates to
it. Yeah, the outdoor science is, of course, it's a great place for that. You know, that people don't realize, because those of us are local, but the Cumberland Plateau has more diverse fauna than anywhere else in the world. Even the rainforest. I mean, if you go to the Cumberland, and the park out in Sail Creek connects to the Cumberland Trail, which is up on the plateau. I mean, it's just, there's so many little things that connect that make our outdoor life work for us. And in the process of doing that, draws in a lot of other people, a lot of other businesses that you just don't think about.
So we often hear about the health benefits of parks. Do you think policymakers are beginning to view parks as part of public health in that conversation as well?
Well, I don't know that we're beginning. I mean, it's always been, we've always understood, particularly those of us that are policymakers who have a health or healthcare background. I think it's as much as policymakers are appreciating the connection between community and economic development and what parks and outdoor spaces mean to people. And obviously, the ancillary benefit of that is that if people get out and people move more, then in a state that does poorly in virtually every health ranking that there is, there's going to be value in that. But it takes time for that kind of cultural change to occur, like bicycles on the road. Now, of course, the interesting thing now about, you've got bike lanes, but they all have battery-driven bikes now, so nobody's really pedaling anymore. So that's kind of, you've got a cultural adjustment to that, a cultural adjustment to people that are just out hiking or fishing or kayaking. But as that happens, the community benefits from the health improvements that will inevitably follow it. And health people, not health care people, but health people have been talking about being mobile as being one of the most important things that you can be doing. And we're creating an environment where we make it really easy for people, where there's a state park within, you know, 30 minutes of every Tennessean, right?
Yes.
To where you can enjoy the outdoors that we have to offer.
And building on the policy conversation, as a healthcare professional, how have you seen a growing appreciation for the role that outdoor activity plays in physical and mental wellness?
Well, again, if you just go back to the COVID, post-COVID era, where people all of a sudden realize that isolation is not healthy.
Right.
All right? I mean, we've learned that. It's a hard lesson that we've learned, but isolation is not healthy. And so people recognize that getting out, being with others is good for your mental health. And then just being outdoors is good for your mental health and for your physical health. I don't know that there has to be a great policy initiative around that. Obviously, there are task forces that work on these kind of things. And of course, local parks and recreation folks are constantly driving that message home. Some of it just happens organically. If you offer things to people and they take advantage advantage of it. All of a sudden, people's health start getting better without you having to tell them that they need to do something to get better. Look, those of us that are born and raised here, we're probably Scots-Irish or Appalachian, what we call ourselves. And the worst thing you can do to a person from Appalachia is tell them that they have to do something.
Oh,
right?
Because that tracks.
Because
I got
they're
it.
Not going to do it, right? So yeah. If you tell me I have to get a shot, I'm probably not going to get it. If you tell me I have to get out and walk, I'm probably not going to get out and walk. But if you create an environment where
I
enjoy getting out and walking, mm-hmm. then I'm going to do it organically. I'm not going to have to be told to do that. So the more we create opportunities for people, the better. And that's where, you know, having families in your community is really important.
Mm-hmm.
This kind of dawned on me over the weekend. There was a little festival of sorts going on down at Miller Park. I'm not sure what it was. There was music and the normal kind of thing that they have there like every weekend, right?
Oh,
right. Something.
Nightfall. Yeah. Okay.
And as I was driving by there, I saw like five or six families with kids in their stroller. And, of course, having lived that life at one point in time, I know how you're happy to get out, but you're like, oh, my goodness, I got these kids in time. But the family part of our community is really important because they look for opportunities for their children to have different experiences.
Yes.
Yeah.
And whether it's the aquarium or the Discovery Museum or Point Park, whatever it might be, mm-hmm. that outdoor experience mm-hmm. gives families something to do together as a family. And that not only builds community within our larger community, it builds community within the family structure, which quite honestly, many people would argue is one of the biggest challenges that we have in America, is building community within our own families. And so if we create spaces where families can have those kind of experiences together, it strengthens the family. It also strengthens our community. It's a win-win-win for everybody. And that's what Tennessee is trying to build, a place where families and everyone, but families in particular, can enjoy their lives with their work, their worship, their play, and it's just a great place to
live. And each other.
Yeah. And each other.
And their neighbors, and that's the definition of community.
Yeah. I love the outdoor experiences, too. So and I'll kind of personalize this a little bit, but sort of my quick history is, you know, I was in the Boy Scouts, Mississippi. We'd come up here to raft the rivers. We'd see Rock City, fell in love with Chattanooga, and I just always wanted to work here. And I had an opportunity to come here and work in television. And then I had those chances to leave and maybe move on to other locations. But by that time, I'm having a daughter that now I can do almost the exact same thing that I grew up loving, coming here and visiting, and now having her have these same experiences across Tennessee. We love to travel the small towns all the way to the mountains. So yes, you're nailing it. And sometimes that doesn't have to cost a lot. Sometimes those experiences are just right in your backyard, again, with the state parks, new state parks coming on board.
Well, that's why the taxpayers of Tennessee allow us to invest in our state parks mm-hmm. and create low-cost, no-cost kind of experiences for families and others. Because you're right. I mean, that's the story we would like to write, is that somebody comes to Tennessee, experiences what it is in Tennessee, whatever that magic is, has a family, starts a family in Tennessee, and that family grows in community and grows in Tennessee. And in so doing, they contribute back to our state. Mm-hmm. And that's why in the past 25 years, Tennessee has had such a, I don't want to say a revival, but such a growth and recognition by other places around, not just mm-hmm. the country, but around the world as just a great place to live.
Oh, absolutely.
Not perfect, but a great place to live.
We're bringing you the latest conversation from the Parkside Podcast, an ongoing series on parks and people here in Chattanooga and Hamilton County. Brian Smith is with the City of Chattanooga's Parks and Outdoors. Karen Shostak is with Hamilton County's Department of Parks and Recreation. Our guest for this conversation on investing in Tennessee's outdoors is Tennessee State Senator Beau Watson of North Chattanooga. Now back to the conversation.
Tennessee State Park System has earned a national reputation. You mentioned National Park City earlier, mm-hmm. and of course, our latest addition with the state park coming to Sail Creek. What makes Tennessee's approach unique in that conversation?
Well, the fact that, again, outdoors, agriculture is sort of part of our cultural DNA.
Mm-hmm.
But also, a little known fact by many people in and around Hamilton County, the first state park in Tennessee was in Hamilton County, Harrison Bay State Park.
Yeah, yep. For sure.
The first segregated state park was in Tennessee, Booker T. Washington State Park, right down the road from Harrison Bay, all created by the TVA system when they flooded the land and they allowed the state to gain access to that property. So we have, dating back to the 1930s, we have a history of investing in our outdoor spaces. When the new park opens at McDonald Farm, that will be our 70th state park. So there's lots of opportunity.
7-0.
Yeah, there's lots of opportunities. We're nationally recognized because we take really good care mm-hmm. of the gifts that the taxpayers have given to. Now, all this comes at taxpayer expense. I mean, all of us should be grateful to the people of Tennessee who provide us with the tax base to do to do these kind of things. Yeah. But the reason we're so nationally recognized is that as parks come online, each of them have their own distinct personality mm-hmm. so that when you go to one of the 70 state parks, it is not the same experience at that park that it is at the next park. Mm-hmm. So, for example, in Hamilton County, we have Harrison Bay, which has a golf course on it, has a marina on it, mm-hmm. and then Booker T. Washington, which has a lake on it, a lot of fishing experiences mm-hmm. there, but Beautiful. A lot of other different kind of outdoor activities, camping. They've got some group camping things. Then when you come across the river, the new park, up at McDonald Farm will have outdoor camping spaces mm-hmm. for it, RV kind of camping, which is incredibly popular yes. right now. And then the other state park, which is the North Chickamauga Creek State yeah. Park, is really like a total immersion in the outdoors mm-hmm. kind of state park. I mean, it's basically a wilderness Beautiful. Creek kind of park that a certain type of individual is going to have an experience there that's going to be different than the experience they have mm-hmm. at any of the other state parks. And so what we try to do with that, I'm doing the state parks work for them here. But what we,
they're fine with it.
But what you we try going. To do with that is give you another reason to come sure. back, right? Yeah. We didn't yeah. get a chance to go to this park. We didn't get a chance to go to that park. And then we try to connect them. So, for example, the park up at McDonald Farm will have, through the Cumberland Trail, will have a connection to the North Chickamauga Creek.
Right.
And ultimately, the Cumberland Trail connection runs from, what, Maine all the way
all
down
the way
to,
yeah.
to Georgia. So. Yeah. Like the Appalachian Trail, all of a sudden now we've created this whole new economic outdoor ecosystem yeah. that we really didn't have before.
Which just keeps on transcending.
Yeah, we continue to see the future of maybe that trail being built out and having influence even here in town in Chattanooga. So, but where do you see the state park system in the next 10, 20 years?
The most important thing that we talk about from my role in finance yeah. is we want to make sure that we have the resources to maintain what we have in mm-hmm. really good shape.
Yeah. Right? So glad to hear you say that, yeah, by well, the way. That's an important, that's happen, a top happen, of mind thing.
It happens
for a lot
in
of
the
folks.
City and the county as well.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you grow and you're happy to be growing, and then you realize we can't afford to grow sure. anymore. And so I think we're kind of at a point where there will probably be a little bit of a deep breath of, okay, let's make sure we're taking really good care mm-hmm. of what we have. We've done, you know, in the past 8 years, really the past 20 years, just an incredible amount of investment into our state park, from new facilities like at Fall Creek Falls
yeah.
to new facility over in Middle Tennessee. Of course, the land, the $45 million that we're doing in the north part of Hamilton County. So we've got a lot of new development going on. We've got to make sure we can afford to take good care of it because we're
smart.
Stewards of it now,
yeah.
right?
Sure.
The taxpayers of Tennessee have given us the responsibility to be good stewards of it, and they want to be able to go there and enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, Brian, when you were talking about a moment ago, I was thinking about, you know, the Cumberland Trail. We still got to try and figure out how to get across the river.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm assuming the people who were walking on the Cumberland Trail, the Indians years ago, going, how are we going to get across the river, right? that seems to be, you know, we've got a couple of project ideas.
Yes, to say, we're looking into it. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Trying to connect South Chickamauga Creek with North Chickamauga mm-hmm. Creek, you know,
yeah.
and you look at, you've got this huge river in between. Fortunately, it's at least kind of controlled, I guess, back in the settlers' days, it
right.
was completely out of control, and they were like, well, we're never going to get across
the
river.
River back then, I'm sure.
So, again, the river plays very much into our personality in Tennessee. Well, we have very little oil, very mm-hmm. little gas, a mm-hmm. little bit of coal, mm-hmm. but we do have the one thing that humans cannot live without, and that is we have water. And our friends in Georgia constantly trying yeah. to stick a straw
I mean,
into
every
it.
So often, right?
But,
it crops
but
up.
It is central to who we are as Tennesseans.
I want to just point out that almost seems to be a common thread every single episode. This is officially episode number 7. We visited with Mitch Patel and Senator Corker, former Senator Corker, and they mentioned the same thing quite a bit about the river and how it became, in the settlers' days, it was a place of industry. Linda Moss Mines mentioned the same thing, how that was a place to trade. And then here we fast forward. It still has industry, but it's really centered around quality of life and people's experiences and how they remember Chattanooga and Hamilton County. So,
well, again,
it's a great story to tell.
Yeah, humans cannot survive without water. And so I don't care how far you go back in human history, you're going to find, you know, civilizations gathered around water, mm-hmm. communities gathered around water. And we're very blessed in this state. I mean, we have two major rivers cutting right through our state And that draws us, which we just made an investment in the riverfront. The mm-hmm. state put $15 million to the county to the riverfront development because we recognize, as has been said, you know, that's sort of the front door to Chattanooga. And the current riverfront, as useful as it's been, it's tired and it needs some refreshing. And I think it's going to be a great opportunity to do that. But again, that $15 million is another example of the state's commitment to creating outdoor venues mm-hmm. where people and community can gather, because it is so critical to who we are as a people.
Brian and I both are on committees, and me from the county and, of course, Brian from the city, where we're part of the discussion, and we're very excited to see how mm-hmm. that evolves.
Coming soon.
How do we balance increased visitation with protecting the natural resources that make these places
it's
special?
Tough. It's tough, right? I mean, because
especially if you tell people you must do this.
Yeah, yeah. Don't tell people, and don't tell an Appalachian. I don't know about people from out west, but don't tell an Appalachian they have to do something. You know, growth and development it's a tough balancing act, right? I mean, because you do need to create economic opportunity for people. And in many ways, our outdoor venues that we've created are sort of ancillary to that economic community development. But when you have such a great place to live, people want to live there, and you have to find places for them to live. And that starts to encroach upon your outdoor spaces. So it's a very delicate balance that I believe that each community has to engage in the discussion with the people in their community and with the leadership in their community to determine what is the best way to grow. The best way to grow is not always horizontally. Sometimes you have to grow vertically. And we've seen a lot of that here. And it's a little bit different for us because we're used to having houses that have these really big yards and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so to move away from that makes us a little bit uncomfortable. But you're not going to have enough space if you try to accommodate everybody without going a little bit more vertical. So you've seen a little bit more vertical growth from a housing perspective in this area that those of us in the South are having to get used to. People mm-hmm. in other parts of the country that have seen this growth over the course of their state's history are a little more comfortable with it. We're mm-hmm. still a little bit uncomfortable. And I think it's good that we're uncomfortable with it because it forces us to engage and debate it and talk about it and argue about it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, again, going back to the park out at Enterprise South where this idea was pitched and people just said, no, we're not doing that. That was a really good community engagement. As an elected person, I did not take it negatively at all. I thought, hey, you know what? These people are really passionate about it. That's a good thing. Let's move on to the next thing and see if there's another opportunity somewhere else. And let's make this a really good experience for people because obviously they're having a great experience out there now.
They told us a lot of stories and gave us a lot of direction through that process for sure.
Yeah.
And speaking of which, direction and guidance and information, what was the process? How did it come together for the state park? Because, you know, it sits right next to a county park right now, which is McDonald Farm, which is a passive park. And so now we'll have this amazing state park next to it. How did it come to be? What was the plan that came
together? Yeah, well, of course, I'm local, so I've been familiar with McDonald Farm since I was a little kid, right? So when the county elected to purchase it for industrial purposes, we always knew that it was going to be a fairly hefty infrastructure investment to bring it up to shovel ready, somewhere in the neighborhood of $300 or $400 million to do that. As we had the discussion about Enterprise South, we also were having discussions about are there other opportunities that we could look at McDonald Farm? Because there are portions of it, even when they purchased it for industrial purposes, everyone knew that it's in a wetland. It simply cannot be developed. We got some money. I put some money in the budget for Hamilton County a few years ago to get water up into the McDonald Farm area. But Mayor Womp and I sat and talked and kind of mutually came to the idea, the agreement, that maybe we ought to at least sort of introduce the idea to the state that, you know, have you ever thought about putting a park up at McDonald Farm? And the parks folks absolutely love the idea. I did not realize, and I don't think Mayor Womp did at the time, that we being the taxpayers of Tennessee, the state of Tennessee, already owns some land mm-hmm. up there adjoining the park. And we've been investing over the past 8 years in development of the Cumberland Trail along the plateau. And so when we even mentioned the idea that it might be something that we should investigate, the state parks people really jumped on it really quick. We got together with the state parks people as well as all the other folks that kind of get in those kind of decision trees when you're approaching the governor about a potential idea. And it just, you know, the stars kind of aligned. And then we had all the pushback from Enterprise South. which is on the other side of the river. Yeah. And we don't have a lot of park development on this side of the mm-hmm. river. I mean, we've got, you know, Chester Frost Park was a fantastic county park, maybe one of the best county parks in the state.
Yeah. I can't help but agree.
Yeah, fantastic. I was just up there this weekend for an event. Fantastic, fantastic county park. And this creates another kind of, we talked about experiences, mm-hmm. it creates another kind of experience that isn't necessarily a water experience. You know, if you think about our other state parks, North Chick is a water experience. Harrison Bay has a water experience. Booker T has a water experience. But this park will not have that kind of water experience. It's more of an outdoor hiking, mm-hmm. rock climbing.
Connector. Yeah.
Connector right. to the common. I mean, it's just a different experience. And so when we started talking, then we talked about the connection between having a state park, working collaboratively and coordinating with a county park that has this whole farming kind of set up yeah. on it. Yeah. And from a sales pitch perspective for the state, it's like, this is like, so we, you know, brought in the tourism folks to think about what it would look like, what kind of industry would develop, what kind of ecosystem would develop around that. And finally, it's a regional park because part of that park sits in Ray County.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, just right up the hill is Bledsoe County. So you also pull in development in the adjoining counties.
It touches so many counties.
Touches
yeah.
a lot. So now it's not only just a North Hamilton County Park, it becomes a regional park. And if you're investing Tennessee taxpayer dollars, you want to invest in things that have the most reach for the most citizens. And in this instance, it touches citizens from all across the region.
The story of the Tennessee State Park and how it came to be is super fascinating, and I really think we could have done a show just on that because it's all the nail-biting, never mind, because everybody said, that's a great idea. It's great to know that everybody feels as strongly. The people that were making the decisions and investigating, researching feel just as excited and strongly as we do that this is the perfect. Number 70 is definitely going to be a champ for us.
It is, but it also, I mean, there was a group and is a group that saw that as an industrial kind of
sure.
site. And we've left a little bit of space for that, but it's mm-hmm. probably going to be, my guess would be, it will be development in the outdoor space.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be, you know, a manufacturing or something like that. But
things that complement the
people think
state
about,
park.
You know, when we think about economic development, the first thing that comes to our mind is, you know, well, how many jobs is it going to bring? And that is still really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also that economic development that is ancillary to how many jobs. And that is all those people that have those jobs, what are they going to do on the weekends?
That's
or what are they
right.
going to do sure. on their time off? And I think that's where this fits in. It's unique space.
Throughout your career, you've been involved in some significant decisions that have impacted Tennessee's future. When you think about your legacy, where do parks, conservation, and public spaces fit into that story? And this is Senator Bo Watson's legacy.
Yeah.
That we're asking
well,
about.
I hope I'm not old enough that I'm thinking about legacy building.
You're definitely not.
and I really don't. I don't really think about that in any way. But I do think that in my time as being in finance, I have been a part of some really significant investments in Hamilton County. I mean, the most recent, of course, being McDonald Farm. We've got the riverfront that mm-hmm. we've yeah. invested in. We've invested heavily in Booker T. Washington. Mm-hmm. You know, we're building a new event center out there yeah. right
entire.
Now.
Just there this yeah. past weekend. See, yeah. I saw yeah. it going
now,
on.
Let me tell you about that. Did you look and it's got the ground cleared?
Yep.
It's just, and it looks like they haven't done anything, right? Well, here's the interesting thing. I know this has nothing to do with the question.
No,
but it's
I
a
love
great story.
This. You just lit up the room just yeah, now. Yeah, I'm yeah, so excited yeah. to hear
so,
this.
So the structure that they tore down was the last remaining structure from the era of segregation, right? That was the first building built there and then they tore it down. When they tore it down, they did not realize that there is a cistern that was underneath that building, a well,
yeah.
so to speak. And so now we're having to recalculate the foundation, how it's going to be built, all this kind of stuff. That's why there hasn't been a lot of activity out there because they're trying to figure out how do we deal with this cistern that so something was there
interesting
before the park was there.
Just build a nice big wishing well.
And bring the coins.
But you know, we've done that. You know, little things that people don't pay attention to when it comes to park. Like for example, I was helped fund Harrison Bay State Park. Harrison Bay State Park electrical system did not match the modern RV electrical system. So a lot of people could not camp at Harrison Bay because it just didn't have, it would blow the circuits and all that kind of stuff.
No.
And so a few years ago, we spent several million dollars upgrading both the water system because the water system wasn't adequate for the modern RV and the electrical system. Now that doesn't get headlines. Mm-hmm. And it isn't seen as the new shiny mm-hmm. bright object, but it was critical to their long-term sustainability with the modern RV. We redid the marina out there, enhanced the restaurant that sits there at the marina.
We go to it often.
And then, of course, if you look, if you get outside the park, of course, we've added several new parks, particularly the North Chickamauga Creek Park, which I'm really, really excited about. And I've had been fortunate enough to be able to fund that in the budget. But then if you look around that, just look at the transportation stuff that we've done around here lately. I mean, we still got to figure out a way to build a bridge in the north part of Hamilton County, but that's probably a $1 billion project when it's all said and done. But if you look at all the road, and I know it's frustrating to people to see all the roads, but the road improvement we've made, particularly like Corridor J, people forget what Corridor J used to be like, right?
Used to sit out there.
Yeah. And now, you know, you move between Soddy Daisy and downtown, and in 15 minutes, you're where you want to be. Mm-hmm. And so I feel really good about the – and then, of course, the last one, of course, is this – the $15 million investment that we've made at the riverfront, which is the crown jewel of Chattanooga. Mm-hmm. So I feel just really fortunate to have been part of the team that has, you know, done a lot of these different things. No one person gets any of this stuff done. First of all this stuff requires the taxpayers of Tennessee, right? I mean, they have to grant you, sometimes begrudgingly, but they have to give you the resources to do these kind of things. And no single individual can do this without other members of either the legislative delegation or other people across the state making it happen. I've just been fortunate enough to be in a position where I can help advocate for Southeast Tennessee and develop things here.
Leads me right into my next question here. You said other members here. What advice do you give to other members that want to invest in parks and recreation?
Well, fortunately for most people, if you're born and raised in Tennessee, it's part of whom you are, and it's really not a heavy lift. Matter of fact, we get more request to try and expand our park system every year than we can really, really fund. And that's one of the challenges of going, making sure we're not building more than we're able to maintain. We also have moved into, under the Lee administration, Governor Lee has been, whether it's a park or just land preservation, he's really moved into just, we need more land preservation. I may not get this statistic exactly right, but it's going to be fairly close. We were losing about 10 acres an hour in the state of Tennessee to development and such. And it goes back to your question about how do you balance development with conservation? And it's a tricky balance. So we did some things in the agriculture world to try and encourage people to preserve their land, to be able to pass their land on to either a trust or another generation without absorbing the tax burden that comes with that. So we had to do some modification to our tax law. Again, something for most people that's about as exciting as watching paint dry, but yet a really essential part of maintaining and preserving our land. Of course, here in East Tennessee, we have a really long track record of organizations who have for a long time been acquiring and saving lanyard, the Chickamauga Gorge or the Tennessee River Valley Gorge. I mean, all those things that are preserved for future generations. But I would advise, you know, that someone who gets into elected office, that again, jobs and industrial development are important. They're part of our economic infrastructure and a very important part of it. But you want to have and you want to invest in environments that are good for your community and that create community. And again, as we talked about earlier, some of the strategies that we're using is to try and help create community, particularly, and I can't say it often enough, particularly around family, whatever that family is. Building that family community and one family and two families, and the next thing you have a whole community in your town. And I've never had a member really push back about discussion around parks or development and outside activities.
Is there a Tennessee park, trail, or outdoor place that has been personally meaningful to you over the years?
Yeah, see, that's a trick question because I have to say it's one here locally or people say, well, he doesn't represent his own people very well, right? From my earliest days, Booker T. Washington, my dad took us to Booker T. Washington when I was a little kid. Of course, for those who, again, it was post-segregation, but I was born in the 60s, so I was in elementary school when we desegregated the schools in Hamilton County and Chattanooga, so I kind of know that world a little bit. My dad took us out there, and I remember, and you'd have to live here a long time, it used to have the largest swimming pool, I think.
Oh, I've heard that.
Ever. And I remember my dad taking us there and saying, I want y'all to say this is the largest swimming pool ever. Now, I'm sure there were some white kids there, but there weren't a lot of them, right? It was mostly African-American kids there. But that park, for some reason, has always had a special place. Now, I used to love Fall Creek Falls because Fall Creek Falls on Friday night used to have all-you-could-eat crab legs.
Excuse me.
Been there, done that.
Yeah. Is that not a thing anymore?
Yeah, no, they don't do it anymore.
No.
It's the restaurant there, which y'all invested in and rebuilt a few years ago.
That's what we did. You could leave Chattanooga at 6 o'clock and get to Fall Creek Falls at 6 o'clock, right? and so that was always kind of a special place. But I'd say, you know, if I thought about my heart of hearts, it's probably Booker T. Washington just because of the connection it has to our community. We're working, you know, one of the things we're working on out there at Booker T. right now, besides the event center, is there is an African-American cemetery out there, the Johnson mm-hmm. Cemetery, mm-hmm. that is now part of the state park. So now we have some responsibility for it. So a few weeks ago, I was out there with the Rangers and we were walking the perimeter to try and figure out, what are we going to do? And I was trying to figure out, okay, what's this? How's the state going to invest in this? Or what should the state invest sure. in this? Because cemeteries are tricky because each individual grave is private land, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But we have some responsibility to maintain it. A lot of it's grown up in the forest now. So you have to kind of figure out what part of the cemetery do you want to make accessible or not. But it's a part of our history here. And now it's in the state park. And we've got to figure out, how do we showcase that as part of our state and our community story?
I'm sure it'll, in your hands and that team's hands, it'll be very respectful and just a lovely story to tell. It's part of our history.
It is. And there, you know, we have three cemeteries like that here in Hamilton County. Over North China, you got Beck Cemetery. Mm-hmm. Fascinating stories. If y'all want to do a podcast story on one of the parks, I mean, doing one on the African American cemeteries here, it'd really be interesting about how they. So
are you writing that down? How
they? I say, I'm thinking we got to get Carmen a few.
There's a whole team involved.
How they migrated during the Civil War and followed the Union troops as they were heading south, and of course, then you got to the river, and again, how are we going to get across the river?
It never ceases to amaze me how rich in history Tennessee is, and so Senator Watson. And I have to tell you, you are extremely easy to talk to. So I could do this all day long. I do love this lightning round.
Okay.
This is where we kind of just hit you with a few questions.
Sure.
In your position, we know we're going to hear. I like them all. So just.
Yeah. No, it's good. Yeah. I like them all. There.
Done. Questions answered. So real quick. So sunrise hike or sunset paddle? What's in your purview?
Sunset paddle. Although I have time to do that. Don't have as much time to do it as I'd like to, but sunset paddle.
Most underrated outdoor destination in Tennessee.
That's an underrated
outdoor
destination.
Way to bait him there, Brian. Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. Gosh, I'm going to come back. Pass. Come back to that
pass.
One.
One word that describes Tennessee's future.
Brilliant. Whether you look at it from the shining or the fact that the way we're advancing as a state, academic, technologically, all those things our future is really, really brilliant. And I'm really looking forward to being part of that and help try and set a little bit of the path for that. Underrated. I'm going to,
so we got to go back and challenge you on that.
Oh my God. Well, I think he was saying that we're brilliant, by the way. Yeah.
Remember, it's not the question, but the follow up.
Exactly.
Underrated. God, like that. We just don't have any that aren't really, really good.
Do you think we tell our story pretty well when it comes to what we've got in assets?
I think we do. I agree. You know, years ago, somebody. And everybody, you know, it's like everything. Everybody tries to take credit for the phrase. Somebody used the phrase, you know, Boulder of the East at some point about.
Yeah.
And the attractions that we have here are really Orchard Knob. It's not a state park, but it's a national park. But Orchard Knob.
Way to pull that one out, Senator. Yeah. Nice.
Better with them. Totally. Harvard community. Yep.
Yep. Totally unappreciated, almost unknown. Quick side note, and I know we're probably getting up against the clock here, but I had a gentleman who is very involved in the National Battlefield Association, or whatever it's called, American Battlefield, I think. And he had been to Chattanooga a number of times to visit Chickamauga Battlefield, Point Park, all those kind of Missionary Ridge, all those kind of things. And he could never find where Orchard Knob was.
Isn't that interesting?
And so we were talking, and I said, well, you're all around. I mean, you're right there. And he said, so I met this guy. He's probably in his 80s. And took him up to Orchard Knob, and he was enthralled with it. And people don't realize that all of the great generals from Gettysburg were here during the Battle of Chattanooga and Battle of Chattanooga and Chickamauga. And Grant stood up on Orchard Knob as a general of the Union Army and looked out over Missionary Ridge, towards Missionary Ridge, watching the battle ensue. And, of course, all these great generals were there. And he was like, this is so under – and yet there are these super nice monuments up there and everything. Yeah. It's really – it's not a state park. And it's got a bunch of Union states that are sitting up there, but it's probably really locally underappreciated.
Awesome spot.
We appreciate that. Senator, thank you for your leadership and for spending time with us today. From investing in communities and protecting Tennessee's natural resources, your work continues to make a meaningful impact across our state.
Well, thank you. You're very kind, and thank you for allowing me the opportunity to talk about Tennessee and Tennessee State Parks.
Yeah, I mean, we're super, super impressed by your support in projects. McDonald Farm, as we talked about many times, Riverfront Downtown. So we just appreciate your enthusiasm, because you may not be thinking about your legacy now, but I mean, I'm thinking about my kid and the kids to come after that. I mean, they're going to be enjoying what you have done and fought for. That's amazing.
Thank you. Very kind. Thank you. Go Mocs.
Oh, go Mocs. And until next time, folks, please stay connected, and we'll see you Parkside.
Catch all our conversations on Scenic Routes at our website, wutc.org, on the WUTC app, and wherever you get your podcasts.